says Parshas Vayechi starts off with Vayechi Yaakov Beretz Mitzrayim Shvatz Rishana Vayimi Yemei Yaakov, the days of Yaakov, Shnei Chayov, the amount of years in his life. Sheva Shonim Rabboni Last Shana, it was 147 years. Get over here. Get over here. Get over. You got very upset last time. 147 years altogether. Okay, here we go. There are brachos given to every Shevet. The way we've been going up until now is we've been talking about Yosef at Tzadik. We've been talking about Yosef. We've been going into the greatness of how great Yosef was and the power that Yosef at Tzadik had more than anybody else. Each Shevet had something that represented them. There was no dissension. There was no, like, there was unity between all the Shvatim that we understand. In other words, all the Shvatim got along together. The problem is there are certain Shvatim who are different from others, and some people get very upset about that. For example, nowadays you can have a Yisachar and you can have a Zvulun. What ends up happening is that the Zvulun gets really mad. Like, I'm paying this guy, how come he's not working as hard as I am, so to speak? Or you'll have a Yisachar that says, like, how come this Zvulun isn't paying for me? How come he's not giving me any money? When he's a Zvulun, I'm supposed to be the Yisachar. What's going on? There's tension between one part of the Shvatim and the other. People get angry at one another. But here we go. We have to understand Yosef's Koach. We spoke about Yosef last week and we said that his power was the fact that he was able to hide Kedusha. He was able to hide his holiness, hide his greatness, and not show it off to anybody else. He was able to do something to everybody else. That trade's great for Yosef. To be able to have that Kedusha, to be able to hide it, to look like you're an Am Haaretz, look like you're a nobody, when really you're the greatest Gadol of all time. It's an unbelievable trait. That's an unbelievable trait. Something that Yaakov could be. And it could very well be. There could be something there. He's a Gadol behind the face of just Yaakov. Just Yaakov. But you can't give that to your kids. You can't give that to your kids. So what did Yosef give to his kids? I mean, that power is just too much. So what did Yosef give down to his kids? Some good money. So that, it's a hard bracha to give. It's very hard for a child to be as great as Yosef HaTzadik actually was. So what was the power of Yosef HaTzadik that he had more than anybody else? So Rav Shor is a little bored over here. Look at what it says. Pasuk says, regarding Yehuda, it says the following. It says, Zvulin, done, hold on, I'll be there in a second. Here we go. It says, Bein Poras Yosef. He was a charming son, O Joseph. Bein Poras Ali Oyin. He was a charming son, pleasing to the eye. Benos Sado Ali Shur. The girls used to step on top of the walls to go look at Yosef HaTzadik. That's a very, very strange line. Used to step on top of walls.
They say that about a lot of
100%. And that's part of the problem. Really? What kind of a praise is this? What kind of a praise is this? He was good looking. This is part of his bracha for his children. You are so good looking, girls will step over walls to look at you. What kind of a bracha is that? That his kids are going to be beautiful, but for what? What are they going to get out of it? What chance is there for them to have of ever being able to do something well if they're just so beautiful that people look at them and they just want to step on top of the walls, they want to be together with them, they're going to be seduced. People are going to come up to Shevet Yosef and they're going to say, wow, you guys are so good looking. Maybe you'll have a Yosef HaTzadik who can stop himself and say, oh, Yaakov Avinu's face. But normal people, how in the world are they going to get around that? How is that a bracha?
The Gemara in someone says, I got tunnel of the heavens because I was too good looking, I couldn't do it.
Yes.
Yosef did it, so you could do it too.
No. That's a taina in Shemayim regarding, in Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph, regarding all the people who came to Shemayim and said, I have a taina on this, on that, and the other. Okay, I understand. There's a taina. Yosef was able to do it. That's not a bracha for your kids.
No, it doesn't. You
should
be
beautiful.
Greater than anybody else.
But what is that? What kind of a bracha is that? Yosef in Israel says the bracha. You ready for the bracha? The opportunity is the following. Yonas Ben Uziel says the chances is that they looked at him and he didn't look at them. He refused to look at them. Now that's a bracha. In other words, saying for the kids will have this chance. They are going to have the ability to have Shmiras Einayim. That even though people are going to look at you, you're extremely beautiful. Yosef gave a spiritual inheritance to his kids that they won't be able to look at other people. That they will not have that ability to look at other people. And that'll be unbelievable. But Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi says he's beautiful, people want to see him, and that's the bracha. What is the bracha over here? That he's so good looking? That he's that good looking? I mean, what does that mean exactly? Okay, Yosef had something that's called a Gila Yaakov. We think of Gila Eliyahu. You know what I'm talking about? Like, you have Eliyahu and Avi appear to you all of a sudden. Yosef at Tzadik had something called Yaakov, Gila Yaakov. Yaakov, you know, appeared to him in the middle of nowhere and saved him from the chait. Here's the pshat. Every single person can get that Gila Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu's face is on the Kisei HaKavod. We'll get to that in a second. but on the holy throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, one of the faces looks like Yaakov Avinu. At any point during your life, if you are Zocha, if you're Zocha to be able to see it, the Gilui Yaakov could come down to you. You could see the Kisei HaKavod. You might be able to see Yaakov Avinu, but you have to be Zocha. How are you Zocha to be able to see that surah that's on the Kisei HaKavod? That's the koach that Yosef had. Says Rav Shor, the ability to show that you're kadosh. Now remember, Yosef had to be able to hide his kedusha, but he was able to have that kedusha there and not allow any tuma to penetrate him. You know what he was? He was a wall. He was a wall.
How is it tchus? It only came to him because he was about to do a sin.
The tchus is that you had it happen to you when you're about to do a sin. You sinned and it hasn't happened to you.
No, but
Yosef Tzadik, he was able to do that. Yosef Tzadik did do something. He did do something, but he didn't do the chait that he was supposed to do. Yosef Tzadik had a wall. He didn't allow the tumah to penetrate him. It didn't go inside him. It didn't affect him internally. He was able to give to his children the ability to be, you ready for this? Not have an ayin hara. People can stare at Yosef Atzadik's children all the time. They can give them ayin hara. They can look at them and say, wow, that person is so beautiful. I wish I was like him. Wow, that person is so rich. I wish I was like him. And that causes an ayin hara. An ayin hara causes you to lose that object that you have or that beauty that you have. You might have an accident. Something might happen to you. Yosef Atzadik's children did not have that ability. They didn't have the ability for other people to affect them through ayin hara. And it all happened from Yosef Tzadik. Ale ayin. They were ole the ayin. You could use your ayin hara on them all you wanted. They were so beautiful. They were so good looking and everything like that, but it didn't affect them. That's how Yosef Tzadik was able to stand in front of Esav. And who was behind him? Rachel Imenu. Because he didn't want Esav to look at Rachel. Because Yosef Tzadik knew, I'm a wall. He can stare at me all he wants, and it won't affect me internally. No tuma will come anywhere near me. But Rachel had inside him, inside her, Binyamin Atzadik. And Binyamin Atzadik can be affected. And Yosef Atzadik did everything he could to make sure that Binyamin Atzadik wouldn't be affected. So he stood in front of Rachel Imenu and said, don't look at my mother. You're not allowed to look at my mother because the tuma might come into Rachel Imenu. So Yosef Atzadik stopped it, and that's why Binyamin Atzadik never had any chatayim. Never did anything wrong. He was one of the four people to have never sinned. The other shvatim, even Yosef HaTzadik, were affected a tiny little, however you want to understand it. Yosef HaTzadik did something that we mentioned last week that Yaakov Avinu saw as a chait, even though he was an impenetrable wall. It didn't affect him tumor-wise. He had something. It was an impenetrable wall. Nobody could get through that wall to affect him internally so that his kids could be born with unbelievable amounts of kedusha. Binyamin Atzadik was the recipient of that kedusha. Binyamin Atzadik was unaffected. That's why Yaakov Avinu never wanted to lose Binyamin. He said, I don't want Binyamin to leave. He still has Yosef's power in him. Binyamin Atzadik has the power of unbelievable kedusha. He has the power of Yosef's children. That's why. How many shvatim were supposed to be born from Yosef Atzadik? He had two, Ephraim and Manasseh. How many should he have had? Medrash says he was supposed to have had 12. He lost 10 of them. You know where the 10 kids went? To Binyamin. Binyamin had 10 kids. Binyamin's 10 kids were Yosef's lost children. They all came to Binyamin because Yosef HaTzadik stood in front and didn't allow Binyamin to be affected. Didn't allow Binyamin to have anything happen to him. That's the idea behind it. That's something that his children can inherit. To allow themselves to have that kedusha, to have that holiness, and not allow themselves to be internally affected so that the inheritance keeps going to the kids. It's a DNA, a spiritual DNA that goes to the kids. Their kids won't be affected by the Anara, and their kids won't be affected by the Anara, and it keeps going. Okay, you want to now we got
to
go somewhere.
That's why we use them to bless our children?
100%. Use Ephraim and Manasseh. 100% because they don't have the Ayin Hara. Listen carefully, okay? This is going to be very, very hard to understand. If you don't hear me the first time around, it's okay. You might have to listen to it again. You might have to listen to it again. But it is an awesome board and you're going to have to hear it. There's something going on behind the shore of the Kisei HaKavod. The shore might not be there. There are four sides to the Kisei HaKavod, to this throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There are four faces on each side to the throne. We don't really understand what that means, but there are four faces. Two of them, everybody knows about. Two of them are for sure there. Two of them is a very, very, we don't know exactly. The Aryeh and the Nesher. The lion and the eagle are two faces. The king of the wild beasts and the king of the birds, the Aryeh and the Nesher, are both up there on the Kisei HaKavod. They're both up there on the Kisei HaKavod. The other two are questionable. One is Adam Rishon, but it looks like Yaakov Avinu. Adam Rishon and Yaakov Avinu is on one side. And the other one is either a shore, an axe, or a kruv, a cherub, an angel, There was one of the Kruvim, like one of the Kruvim that were in the Beis HaMikdash that stood on top of the Aron Kodesh. It's either a Shor or a Kruv. What happened? Okay, so listen up carefully. By Yosef, at the very, very end of the Parsha, the Shvatim are all scared. They think that Yosef HaTzadik is upset at them. They can't tell. They don't know what's going on. So they say the following. Nun Yutet, it says... I'm sorry, it is... Where is it? In Yud Tes Zayin. V'yitzav ol Yosef ben Mordechai said to Yosef, saying, Avicha tziva lifnei moso lemor. Your father commanded right before he died, saying the following. Yaakov Yinu said the following. I you want to tell me where this was? Because we don't have any history, any recollection of this. He said the following. Ko soma liyosef. This is what you should say to Yosef. Ana, sana, please, forgive, please. Pesha achecha. All the sins of your brothers. Where did Yaakov Avinu say that? He never said that. It's not in the Parsha. Where did he say that? And then, Ana Sana. What does that refer to? You know what the Pshat is? Ana is Aleph Nun Aleph. You know what that stands for? Aryeh, Nesher, Adam. Those are three parts of the Kisei HaKavod. What's missing? Aryeh, Nesher, Adam. You're missing the Shor. Ana Sana. Shor, Adam, Nesher, and Aryeh. Ana, sana, Yosef HaTzadik, do you want to be in the Kisei HaKavod? You got to forgive us. You got to help us out. So, sin aleph nun aleph. Please forgive. Please lift yourself above everything else is what it really means. Lift yourself up. Please allow us to be going through. What's the pshat? Allow yourself to be put in the Kisei HaKavod. The way it is right now, if you don't forgive us, then you don't deserve to be our brother. If you don't forgive us, if you don't do anything to us, then forget it. It's just Ana. It's Aryeh, Nesher, and Adam up there, but there's no Shor. Forgive us, and then it'll be Shor, Aryeh, Nesher, Adam. Allow that to happen, and then everything will be okay. Where did Yaakov Avinu say that? At the very, very beginning of the Parsha. At the very, very beginning of the Parsha, Yaakov Avinu is talking to Yosef HaTzadik himself, and he says to him, I have to find it. He says, El Shaddai Nira Eli. God upon God appeared to me, but Luz, the Eretz Canaan. Anybody know where God appeared to Yaakov Avinu and Luz? Where was Luz?
Beit El.
Where's Beit El? That's where he saw the vision of? The ladder. What was on top of the ladder? The Kisei HaKavod. What did he see on the Kisei HaKavod? Four faces. What were the four faces? Aryeh, Nesher, Shor, and Adam. You ready? El Shaddai Nira Eli. First letters. Aleph, Shin, Nun, Aleph. The Aryeh, Shor, Nesher, and Adam is when he said, El Shaddai Nira Eli, the Luz. When I was in Luz, when I was by Beis El, when I was there by the Beis Hamikdash, this is what I saw. I saw the Aryeh, Nesher, Shor, and Adam. Said to Shvatim, that's where Yaakov Avinu told you. You have to be on the Kisei HaKavod. You're the Shor. Yosef HaTzadik, you have to be up there. We all know that Yosef HaTzadik is the Shor. You have to be up there. You have to be on top of the Kisei HaKavod. Let everything go. You have to forgive us. You have to be on top of there. You have to be our Mefarnes. You have to be the person taking care of us. Said Yosef HaTzadik, no. Hatakas Elokim ani? Am I under God? Where is the Kisei HaKavod? Right under God. What did Yosef HaTzadik mean? Here's the problem. When Yaakov Avinu was in Luz, he said the following. After he woke up, he said, Achin Yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh. Therefore I know that God is in this place. V'anochi lo yadati. But I had no idea beforehand. I didn't know this beforehand. You know what the pshat is? Achin Aryeh Kruv Nesher. He took out the Shor. There's a Kruv there instead. Said Yaakov, you know, Achen, Aryeh and Adam is the Aleph, Chav for the Kruv and Nin for the Nesher. That I knew was in B'makom Hazeh, the Anochi. But Yaakov, you know, myself, I'm up there. Anochi stands for Aryeh, Kruv, Nesher, Yaakov. That I'm up there? That I'm on top of the Kisei HaKavod? That my face is on the Kisei HaKavod? Lo yada. That I had no idea.
You said Yaakov?
Yaakov knew himself, because Yaakov knew was Me'ein Shufrei the Adam Arishim. He was like the beauty of Adam Arishim. Which means that his face... Exactly, and that's the face that appeared to Yosef HaTzadik when he needed help. It was the face that looked like Yaakov, but was really the face of Adam Arishim. The face of Adam Arisha. That's Yaakov Avinu appeared to him all of a sudden. That's what ended up happening. That's the whole shot when Yaakov Avinu is speaking to Rachel. And Rachel Imenu says to him, please, let me have a child. What does Yaakov Avinu say to her? Hatachas Elokim Ani. What am I instead of a Kadosh Baruch Hu? You know what the pshat is? Hatachas Elokim Ani. I'm underneath that. I'm too far below to be able to answer those prayers. I can't do that. I'm not a Kadosh Baruch Hu himself sitting on the chair. I'm tachat Elokim. I'm underneath that Kadosh Baruch Hu. I'm not on that level, said Yaakov. Now, Yosef and Tzadik says the exact same line. Now, what's pshat? Why, at the time, did Yaakov see a kruv? But later on, when the Shvatim are talking, they see a shore. What's the difference? What happened over here? So you say the following. There was a shore, but something happened. You want to hear what happened? The Eagle Azov. The Eagle Azov was a cow. So what did they have to take off the Kisya Kavod? The cow. Because God didn't want to be reminded about the sins of the Kisya Kavod, the sin of the Eagle Azov. So he took off the shore, and what did he put in its place? A crow. Okay, ready? How did Yosef HaTzadik lose that ability? How did he lose it? How did he get off?
Why did Yaakov see one thing and the brothers see something else?
Yaakov Avinu saw something and the Shvatim saw something else. So what's the pshat over here? We spoke last week. Yaakov Avinu never kissed Yosef. At the end of the day, Yaakov Avinu never kissed Yosef. He wouldn't even kiss his children until he found out who the mother was. The mother's Osnas? Oh, that's the mother? Oh, then everything's okay. And he takes a fine, he gives him a bracha. He takes Menashe, he gives him a bracha, and he kisses them both. But Yosef HaTzadik, Osnas was a holy woman. She was from Dina and Shechem, and he knew the Kedusha behind Dina and Shechem. So they knew something. Osnas, there's something there. But in the end, when he sat there and he gave Yosef HaTzadik bracha, you realize that Yosef HaTzadik was holy. Yosef HaTzadik didn't really do anything wrong. There was something wrong with the Kishri Aver, which we spoke about last week. There's something a little bit wrong. Something a little bit wrong. But it wasn't completely off. It wasn't completely off. You ready? Okay. This is just a crazy thought. I'm not positive this is all there, but this is the idea. Yaakov Avinu looked at the Kisya Kavod when he was there, and he saw Kruv. He saw one of the Kruvim, he saw an angel up there, and not the shore. And he said, uh-oh. What happened to Yosef? And he always thought, his whole life through, he always thought, perhaps Yosef sinned, and doesn't deserve to be on the Kisya Kavod. Perhaps he sinned. And that's the reason, when I'm looking at this, I'm looking at the Kisya Kavod, Yosef Tzadik has done a chait, even though he wasn't even born yet. There was a reason why the shore was taken off the Kisya Kavod. It was Yosef's sin, because Yaakov was seeing the Kisya Kavod throughout all the exiles of Klal Yisrael.
There's a prerequisite to not have sinned to be in the Kisya Kavod. Yaakov's sin is on there.
Yaakov Avinu doesn't have any chatayim that we can say are chatayim. Yaakov Avinu doesn't have anything. He was still an av. He was the Mushlam Shabbos, the Shalom Shabbos. Yosef Tzadik, he had things that happened in his lifetime, but he never did any chatayim that we know about. Any chatayim, any sins that we can say, oh, he did this chait, he did something wrong. But Yosef HaTzadik, he looks at the Kisya Kavod and he says, what's going on with the crew? What's going on here? Yosef HaTzadik, how is that possible that he's not on there? So he's always worried his whole life. Perhaps Yosef has sinned. So when Yosef was sold down to Mitzrayim, he didn't know what was going on. He said, Torof Darav Yosef! I realized that's why he was torn off the Kisya Kavod. The shore was taken down, and a crew was put in his place because Yosef HaTzadik did a chait. There's something wrong. He did something wrong. And I don't know what it is, or maybe it'll be in the future, but there's something wrong with Yosef. But at the end of his life, he saw he didn't do anything wrong. It was the Shvatim later on who did the Egel Azov. It was the Erev Rav who brought about the Egel Azov, and that's the reason why the shore was taken off. That when Yaakov was looking at it, he was looking at the Kisya Kavod according to what would be at the time of Golos Edom and when Mashiach would come, and he saw at that time the shore would be taken down, not because of Yosef's sins, but because of Klal Yisrael's sins. And he realized, so Yosef didn't sin. So he said, Anasana, the shore can still be up there. The shore can still be brought about. There still can be something that's put on the Kisya Kavod that's a memory of Yosef HaTzadik. He still could be there, but Yosef HaTzadik knew that this was going to happen. And he said, Atachas Elokim Ani, am I underneath the Kadosh Baruch Hu? I'm not there anymore, says Yosef HaTzadik. It's a kruv instead. Can I give you a little addition? Yeravam ben Nevat, what did he do wrong?
No, he brought about the idol worship again.
The two Egel Azovs. Where was Yoravam ben Nevat from? From Shevet Yosef. He was from Ephraim. He brought the Egel Azovs back. Yosef Tzadik knew there's something within me that's going to cause the shore to be moved out. And he knew that. He knew that something was wrong. And it could be that somehow it's due to the kinnah that Yosef Tzadik caused the Shvatim to have. Who knows? Maybe Yaakovinu also is a little bit different. That's why it's Adam at the end, and it's not Yaakovinu, because he also caused kinah between the Shvatim. We have absolutely no idea. You can't talk about the Shvatim or the Avos this way, to say that they possibly did a sin, and that's the reason why this or that or the other. But there's something going on here. There's something way behind the scenes of what the Shvatim are trying to tell Yosef HaTzadik. Don't you want to be in the Kisei HaKavod? And says Yosef HaTzadik, I'm not there. That's not the issue. I'm not there for a different reason. I'm there because the ego is off. I don't have to be on the Kisei HaKavod. I talk about the money. Do you see me on the Kisei HaKavod? I'm not there. It's a crew. It's not me. Okay. Let's end this off. Last year I said over on Yosef HaTzadik's part. I got something else over here. But last year I spoke out a Shemi Shmuel. But I got to go. You have to hear this Shemi Shmuel. It is absolutely unbelievable. We're in Parshas Yosef. You got to hear it. Yaakov saw Ephraim and Menashe. And he said, Mi Ele. Who are these guys? Who are these guys? Now, here's the problem. Ephraim was his chavrusa. He was his chavrusa. What do you mean, who are these guys? I've never seen them before in my life. He's your chavrusa. You've been living with them for 17 years. What do you mean, who are these people? Yaakov Avinu was about to give a bracha to Ephraim and Menashe, and a bracha that would be all-encompassing, that every Kohen could give over to their children, that every regular Jew gives over to their children. You have a recha, Hashem Yishmarecha? That type of idea of the Chayiv Arech Yisrael, Ki Ephraim and Menashe Yuli, those types of brachas of Ephraim and Menashe, those types of brachas, it's going to be something that's huge. It's all going to be through Ephraim and Menashe, but only if Ephraim and Menashe are deserving. Yaakov Avinu looks at Ephraim, and he sees horrible children. He looks at Menashe, and he sees horrible children. He sees Yehu and Achav come from Menashe. He sees Yerovam ben Nevah come from Ephraim. And he said, Oy vey, how can I give these guys a Nevuah? How can I do anything for them? So what did Yosef Tzadik do? Anybody remember?
Those good people that came from them too.
From the Pasuk? No, that's not what Yosef Tzadik did.
They come from Yaakov too.
That's true. But what did Yosef Tzadik do to prove to Yaakov his story and still give him a bracha? Before that. He pulled out something. Says Rashi, pull out the Shtark Suva. And he said, don't worry, I married somebody. It wasn't like just stam a relationship. I married someone. Yaakov looked at the Ksuva, he's like, I'm all good. All right, come here, I'm going to give you brachas. What's up with that? The children are still going to be evil. Yerovam and Achav are still there. What changed that Yaakov said, oh, now I can give them a bracha? What changed all of a sudden that now it's going to be all good? You know what Pshat is? Yosef HaTzadik was saying, Yaakov looked at them and said, oy vey, these are your children? Yosef, you for sure did something wrong. You must have sinned. And if you sinned, what happens to the spiritual DNA? Your kids have that sin. And if their kids have that sin, then their kids have that sin. Achav and Yehu and Yerovam ben Nevat must be stemming from Yosef HaTzadik. Said Yaakov, I know they're not coming from me. I know I don't have this tumah. So Yosef HaTzadik, you must have been born, you must have had this tumah with you. You must have created this tumah, and now you're giving it over to your kids. This is horrible. What did Yosef HaTzadik say? Showed him the ksuva. Dad, I've done everything right. I've done everything good. I've done everything beautiful. You don't have to worry about me. That's not indicative of our shevet. Those are, I guess you can call them, they are, what's the wording that I had? I had a great law. Now, not inherent flaws. That's not the one that I had. I had a great line. Where's my line? Oh, isolated incidents. You like that? Ah, that was a good line. That was a good line. I wrote it down and I'm like, I have to say that out loud. So isolated incidents. They have nothing to do with Yosef. Nothing to do with Ephraim and Menashe. The whole shevet is going to be taller. There's going to be individuals who do something bad. So don't worry about Yerovam. Don't worry about Yehu. Don't worry about Achav. That happens. So Yaakov said, you're right. Those are individuals. Your whole shevet is going to be fine. And he gave the bracha a huge bracha. Some people don't take it. Yerovam, Achav, Yehu, they messed up. But other people take it, and it's all good. Let's end off. Everyone knows from the very first Rashi in the Parsha, Yaakov Avinu got up and he wanted to say when Mashiach was going to come. He wanted to give the cates, the end of times. He wanted to say, here is when Mashiach is coming. It's 5770. It's happening in this year, and everything's all good. He wanted to say that straight to them and let everything happen. The problem was, Nistalka himenu Ruach HaKodesh. He didn't have Ruach HaKodesh. All his Ruach HaKodesh left his head. He no longer could think straight, and nothing was there. He sat there and he said, oy vey, what's going to be? And he looks at the kids. Anybody know what he says? Chas v'shalom yesh b'chem psul, says the Medrash. Chas v'shalom, have you guys done anything wrong? What do they answer? Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Because Yaakov Avinu knew. It's not me. He said, Shema Yisrael, Shema Elokeinu, Shema Echad. What did Yaakov Avinu answer? Baruch Shem Kevod Malchuso L'Olam Voed. That's the line. Listen to Tishimshin. You know what he wanted to do? He wanted to tell them, when Mashiach was coming, when they were going to leave Mitzrayim. When they were going to leave Mitzrayim. And here's what he thought. Thought the following. He knew that the chait, whatever he knew, Yaakov, you know, according to the Nitzutz Shimshon, he knew there was something that they had sold Yosef down to Mitzrayim. He knew that two Shvatim were not involved. Binyamin and Reuven were not involved. Binyamin was too young, and Reuven had went away. So there were 9 Shvatim involved. What was wrong when they sold Yaakov, Yosef HaTzadik? There were pogim in the Shechina. They caused the Shechina to leave Klal Yisrael. Because Yosef HaTzadik was the Shechina. He was the Tzadik who brought the Shechina down. And when they sinned, they lost the Shechina. The Shechina went up. They were pogim in the Shechina. He took the shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Of Aleph, He, Yud, He. Ehyeh. The same name that Moshe Rabbeinu used to bring them out of Mitzrayim. They took that name of a Kadosh Baruch Hu of Aleph Hey Yud Hey, and they were pogim it. The gematria of Aleph Hey Yud Hey is the gematria of what? 21. 21 times 9 Shvatim. Anybody new? Quick at math? 21 times 9. 189. Very good. 189. Which meant that they were going to go free in the 190th year. So he wanted to tell them the cates. Kuf Tzadi is the gematria of 190. Hey guys, you're going to go free in the 190th year in Kates. But what happened? Yistalkei menu Ruach HaKodesh. He realized, why they? They're not going to be there for 190 years. They're going to be there for 210 years, I'm sorry. 210 years. They weren't really going to be there for 400. Right. They knew they were leaving early. But it's going to be 210. He said, where do you get the extra 21 years from? Was there another chait over here? What happened over here? So what did they say? Listen to the line. Shema Yisrael. Listen, Yaakov Avinu. Yisrael is the other name for Yaakov Avinu. Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Hashem was one of us. Hashem was also involved in the sale of Yosef HaTzadik. Which means there were 10 people that were pogim. The shame of Aleph Hei Yud Hei. Aleph Hei Yud Hei is 21 times 10. How many years is that? 210 years down in Mitzrayim. That's the 210 years. That's one pshat that the Nitzutz Shimshon says. But let's end off with a nice moral disc. You're going to like it.
Hashem is punished by Yisrael for something he did.
What does it mean he was involved?
The Shvatim needed a 10th person involved in order to make this cherem. That no one was allowed to tell Yaakov.
Yosef was attacked.
And what they did was, Yosef attacked, according to some pshatim, it was Yosef attacked.
That's why he couldn't get back to Yaakov?
100%. That was one of the pshatim that's given out. The Medrash Rabbah says another answer. That they called down the Shechina, and they asked the Shechina to be involved with them, to be the 10th person involved to make the cherem. And the Shechina agreed. It was due to the shvatim pulling it down that it happened. So that's why they're blamed for it, because they pulled them down. Because B'derek Sha'adam wrote to Lelech Molichanoso. The way you want to go, HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows you to go. But they have pulled down the Shechina, and they have pulled down a 10th person, the Shechina Kaviyachol. The Shechina, if we can understand that, and thus they caused 210 years. But let's try to understand something a little bit different. He says to them, He Kavtsu, gather together. And I'm going to tell you, V'agib Lechem, Matehe Ba'achris Ayom. Okay. What in the world does that word he kavtsu mean? Gather together. This is an unbelievable verse from the Maral Diskin. He kavtsu v'shimu b'nei Yaakov, v'shimu al Yisrael of Yichem. Listen to everything your father is going to say. What's the line of he kavtsu? What does that mean over here? He says the following. This is the Maral Diskin. I'll tell you honestly, I haven't heard a voice like this in a very, very long time. That's why I'm ending off with it. There's a mushel from the Chofetz Chaim. He says the following. The Medrash says, a machlokes. Either they were all separated, they were all completely away from one another, and a malach came and gathered all the shvatim together to Yaakov Avinu, or Ruach HaKodesh came to every single shevet, and all the shvatim decided on their own, let's go to Yaakov Avinu. Let's go to Yaakov Avinu. Okay, what's the machlokas? If it's a malach, or if it's Ruach HaKodesh. What's the machlokas? Listen to this. It says the following. At the end of days, B'nai Yisrael is going to be scattered. Everybody's going to hold something different. One guy is going to say, you got to learn Torah all day long or else you're a schutz. Another guy is going to say, you got to live in Eretz Yisrael your entire life or else you're not Jewish. Another guy is going to say, it's all about the heart. You just got to love God. And as long as you love God, then everything's all good. Another guy is going to say, let's worship Yashki. You can have Jews all over the place. And each one of them holds something different. And each one of them is totally separate. Totally separate. There's no meeting of the minds. No meeting of the minds at all. Nobody can get together. Because each one holds so far away from one another, they all say to one another, well, you're not like him, and you're not like him, and you're not like him. And none of you can get together. None of you can do anything together. So what did Yaakov Avinu do? Well, it depends. It depends. At the end of days, we have two choices. If we do tshuva, then there's no Eliyahu Hanavi. Then there's no war of Gog and Magog. Then there's no Mashiach ben Yosef. If we do tshuva, Mashiach ben David comes down and it's all good. And everything is perfect. You don't have to worry about anything at all. Says the Gemara, if not, I'll give you a king. And this king is going to make horrible edicts, horrible gezeros. And you're all going to be nailed, you're all going to be thrown down on the ground and destroyed. And then at the very end, Mashiach will come and save you. At the very end, Mashiach will make peace between everybody together. That's the pshat. The Shvatim were very separate in their ways of thinking. Everybody had a different thing. There was Yisachar, there was Zvulun, there was Binyamin HaTzadik, there was Yosef HaTzadik, there was Yehuda. Yosef did not agree with Yehuda. Shimon, Yisachar didn't agree with Zvulun. Even Shimon and Levi had discord with one another, even though they fought together. There were issues between one Shevet and the other. There were issues. They didn't allow it to show. They learned Torah. They brought it down for their kids and everything. But there was something there. Bideo Sam, in the way that they thought, they couldn't get together. What did Yaakov Avinu do? He kavtsu. So there's a question. How do you translate that? Did the Shvatim do it on their own? Did the Shvatim get together with their Ruach HaKodesh and realize, what are we doing? We should be, we're brothers. We're friends with one another. Well, we have to be separate from one another. Let's get together. Yaakov Avinu's davening, says the Maral Diskin. He comes to, at the end of days, let Bnei Yisrael realize. Just, honestly, shut up. Stop it. Stop the issues. Stop the problems. What's wrong with you? I think it's that big of a deal. Maybe if he worships Yashki, that might be a big deal. That might be something that we'd have to stop. But if they're there, hold on. If they have something, you go ahead and you try to understand where are they coming from. What are they trying to do? Where are they going? Try to understand them. Try to make some type of meeting of the minds. That's with Ruach HaKodesh. And sometimes it takes big people to be able to do that. Sometimes you need big gedolim to be able to do such a thing. That's Yikavtsu. Gather together. Somebody should do it. Yaakov, you know, has to get up and say it. But if that doesn't happen, you know what's going to happen? Then a Malach is going to be sent. Not a Malach as in an angel. A messenger from God, like an evil king, like Hitler, is going to get up and destroy everyone. Don't give us an ayin hara over here. Don't give us an ayin hara. Somebody like Hitler, Yimach Shmo, will get up, and take the entire nation and say, I don't care if you wear a black kippah, if you wear a white kippah. I don't care if it's knitted or if it's velvet. I don't care if you're not wearing anything at all. I'm going to kill every single one of you. Somebody's going to get up, make a massive gezerah, and destroy everyone so that everyone realizes, oh, we're all Jews. And we had a chance. And I don't think it worked. It's been 60 years since then. More. It hasn't really worked. Where are we now? In the same place we were 75 years ago. We still have these issues. Still have the exact same issues. We had a chance. There was a chance for something to happen, and it just didn't happen. The davening of Yaakov Avinu is, don't let this happen again. Do it by yourselves. Don't let it happen to you. Because those are the two ways Mashiach's going to come. Either there's a massive war, and it's a war of Gog and Magog, or things are going to be okay. Make sure it happens that way. So I'm going to end it off. There is a mashal brought by the Chofetz Chaim. It is one of the greatest mashals I've ever heard. One of the greatest mashals. And you might have heard this before. There's a ship. This ship is like, it's just like a yacht. It's a beautiful, gorgeous ship made for a prince. Made for a prince. And there's a prince there. This prince said, I want everything to be immaculate. I want it to be the cleanest, most beautiful ship you've ever seen. And they all looked around, and every place they looked, it was clean as a whistle. Clean as a whistle. And all the sailors were in pressed, nice clothing. And they had a laundry thing that was on the ship itself. And everything was beautiful. And the prince wanted to know everything about the ship. He said, you know what? I want to see how this ship moves so fast. It's such a fast-moving ship. How does this yacht move? They brought them down to the galleys. Now, in the galleys, that's where all the coal is. That's where the smoke is. That's where the oil is. That's where the sailors are pulling on the oars. They're holding on the oars and moving the ship. Without them, the ship wouldn't run. all of them are blackened with soot. They're dirty, soot, I should say. They're dirty with garbage all over them. They're sweating like monkeys. It smells like crazy down there. It smells unbelievably horrible. The prince goes down there and says, "What is this? What's going on here?" He says, "Get every single person out of here. I want them all bathed. I want you to give them all new, clean clothing. I want you to clean out this whole area. The whole area. I want the whole place cleaned out. I want this place to be immaculate. I want to put my finger on it and not see a single speck of dust down here. I want it to be unbelievably clean." And they did it. They took out those sailors that were rowing. They brought them up. They washed them. They changed their clothing and everything. And they really cleaned out the place. But meanwhile, nobody was rowing the ship. So because of that, the ship was being taken over by waves. They weren't going over the waves, they were going into the waves, and the ship started to sink. Dot, dot, dot. There's nothing they could do. They all died. Those people that are covered with soot, says the Chafetz Chaim, are those people that are yisachars in this world. The people that are learning that you see as garbage. They look blackened with dirt. They look disgusting. They feel disgusting. They're nothing. They're absolutely nothing. But the world can't exist without them. And if they stop learning, if they stop doing what they're doing, then the whole ship sinks. The whole ship sinks. You definitely need the sailors on top. That everybody understands. You don't have a sailor driving the ship, well, you're going to become the Titanic. You don't have a guy taking care of all the different things that are going on up there. Of course the ship's going to sink. Of course. You definitely need the Zvulun. There's no question about that. But the Yisachar, Yisachar down at the bottom of the ship, people don't realize it, but they're the most important part. They're the ones who help the ship move. And without them, the ship sinks and the ship doesn't go anywhere. That's something that takes a meddling in the mind. That when you have a Meshulach that comes to your house, instead of looking at the thing and saying, "Get out of here, I don't want to see you." Instead of just saying like a dollar, giving a dollar, instead of just saying to him, "Can I give you something to eat? Can I give you something to drink? Can I, you know, I maybe give a little bit more than you normally would if you see that he's spending his life learning." I'm not saying that you have to give to every Meshulach and whatever it is, but like to understand that there are people out there that are doing the right thing. They're just, we look at them a different way because we're in America. We're in a different world. We're in a completely different world. Something to think about. That's the meddling of the minds. Because it's very hard for it to come from the neighborhood. It's very easy for it to come from here and to understand how people can be together. Let's try to work it out together. But that's it, guys. We're going to stop with that. Have a great Shabbos.